When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to Space Trash, Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus. I am Molly Malshine.
I am Sarah Armour, your cosmic investigator.
And we're here this week to blast off into another dimension with more celebrity news. We've got a little bit of a Mercury retrograde theme that Sarah's going to explain to us. And we've got an awesome guest. Do you want to do the honors, Sarah, and introduce?
I met Emmy in 2008, and she was the coolest girl at a pool party. And I'm very rarely intimidated by someone else being funnier than me at a pool party.
No,
she blew me away. I'm very rarely intimidated. I very rarely have girl crushes and like that people that I'm like, I want to be friends with them, but I just fell in love with you. I've been stalking you for many, many years, like 10 years. I was just staring at your profile going, and then I'm like, I think we look alike too a little bit. I'm like, I think she could be my cousin. I'm like, are we related? Like I was really like, I'm a creep. I'm an eighth house creep. Okay. She also is like actually a credited producer. She produced her own show on Netflix. Fuck you. Insane. And she traveled with like her friends are all these like famous musicians, and she like traveled with bands, and then she produced a Netflix show about it. And she's not only a famous producer now, but she's just like funny as shit. And so when you decided to join us here today on Space Trash, this is thrilling to me.
We're so honored and flattered, Emmy. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so honored and flattered. I'd love to be the first. I'd love to, you know.
Yes.
Wait, what's your show called if anybody wants to watch it, though?
Yes. I was going to plug, but I sort of felt like I couldn't. That's the kindest introduction ever. Thank you so much. But yeah, if anyone's curious, my show is called I'm with the Band, Nasty Cherry, and it's currently streaming on Netflix. So you can watch it.
Molly and I have been comedians for like a decade. And neither of us have the sentence coming out of our mouth. And you can get it on Netflix. I mean, Emmy, you have eclipsed us during eclipse season. We are so grateful to have the actual eclipser on this eclipse season pod. I mean, how perfect. And it's Mercury retrograde in Gemini. The sun is in Gemini. Venus is in Gemini. And you are a Gemini sun.
That's exciting.
It's true. Guilty.
We're talking about the Friends reunion. Did you guys watch it? So it was this thing on HBO Max. It's a special Friends reunion. Did you guys watch it? Yes or no? I did.
I did. Yeah, I did. I hung over. I watched it on my birthday on Friday. I was prepared to like really like open a vein and cry. And like I had like got the box of tissues. It didn't quite like get me there because I sort of found it to be kind of, I mean, what was I expecting? I mean, I found it very like PR.
Yes.
Like, that's controlled. What it was. Yes.
It was very awkward. They had the weirdest energy throughout the entire thing. The only person who seemed to be having any fun was Matt LeBlanc.
That's because he still moves.
Oh my gosh. Matt LeBlanc and Lisa Kudrow. I needed more of them. LeBlanc's energy was so fucking chill. He was just chilling.
That's why he and Lisa, since Friends, the comeback was incredible. If you guys have not watched the comeback, it is one of the only shows I've ever laughed out loud at in my life. There's a scene where she tries one line over and over and over again while she eats a cake in the kitchen, and I was cry laughing. Randy and I used to watch that scene on repeat because and he has episodes that I believe is still, I think it's on HBO.
Yeah.
The reason you love them now is because they're actually still the best and they're still working because they're still the best.
And they're so talented. I just don't really, the rest of them on the show, I don't know. I never liked the show also. Let's talk about that.
Right. You know, I thought LeBlanc's energy was great. I love Lisa Kudrow. She needed more of that. I also found like the social media rollout to be really sort of like, I mean, everything was spoiled. I mean, what am I expecting? Obviously it's like social media, whatever, but I don't know. I just found myself wanting to fast forward through a lot of it. But And like even the tea that was spilled of like Ross and Rachel actually have feelings for each other was just so like, oh, it was like, oh, so you're telling me that these two like young, hot, like rich, you know, like actors.
You are literally reading my mind.
On the climb or like who spend like 12 hours together a day, like
kissing,
like have feelings for each other, like get out of town.
It was really interesting how no one really covered that. Like I expected there to be a million like BuzzFeed listicles breaking down every frame of the moment when it was revealed, but it just kind of went over like a wet fart. Nobody cared. And I was really, really surprised that they even made that revelation because, so here's some tea. David Schwimmer came to the New York Observer when I was working there because he was friends with the editor in chief and he did a Q&A and he was such a douche. He
really?
Snobby. And he was just like basically complained about his interactions with reporters the entire time and talked about how much he like hates reporters and how they always get stuff wrong and don't do enough research into him. And it's like,
yeah, in front of all he was at a place with all reporters talking shit about reporters.
Yeah. And he was like, acted like he had all this integrity and like none of us were worthy of his time. So for him to then participate in this very clearly orchestrated for publicity reveal that they had a flirtation, I was like, you are just the same as like Ben Affleck calling the paparazzi on himself. Like,
now Schwimmer's a little bit salt and pepper hair and he's a little bit insecure and he could use a couple of headlines. He's got nothing going on. He's completely boring.
You mentioned, Emmy, how like you felt that it was too overproduced kind of, and it was like very PR safe and nothing interesting happened. And I feel like that's because they were producing it. The cast members themselves helped produce it. And you could tell it just felt like a hagiography. It was like, we're amazing. And it didn't even go into the like anything interesting about the show's success. It was just like, the show was amazing and perfect, like la la la, the end. They didn't talk about the fact that it was sort of a ripoff of Living Single. And
was a huge diverse. The only thing I will say is I watched that 3-minute clip and the only hint of diversity was like a K-pop band. That was the only POC voice in the entire, I guess, hour.
They also had a part where they went to all different countries and had people talk about how like random people in each country say how much they love Friends. And it was just like, why am I watching this? This is so boring.
That was weird. That was a very strange, that was weird. They sort of lost me. I was like, wait, what, why am I in this random, like, but I will say, I retract what I said. I didn't mean that I thought that it was too canned, like the answers and the questions and blah, blah, blah. But I actually thought that the way that it was, like the direction and the production in general, even though it was boring and too canned, I actually thought that it was like, it was well done. I appreciated the variety element and the sort of the different, you know, the continuity, I guess.
It did look good. I mean, I saw, it looked really high end. It looked very natural. I guess the only note that I have of the 3-minute best of that I watched, and I did watch enough of the show to know some of the reverence, if they were going to have somebody come out in those Ross skinny pants, it should have been a fucking man.
Yeah, and it was Cindy Crawford.
I bet you so hard that they tried to get Bieber in the pants and he wouldn't do it.
Whoa. Yeah.
I think that whole fashion show was just sort of such a cheap, I was really bummed by that because I just think HBO usually has the best writing of any of the networks ever in history of television. Like, as HBO is so good, they always have the best product. And
well,
like,
this is a message for both of you as the master producers that you are. You cannot have the talent in charge.
Right.
Let's be real, guys. It's HBO Max, and they also did the Bethany show.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to speak ill of HBO Max. Hire me for one of your shows.
So many of the big streaming services just have shitty writing, and they seem like it's a production, like a, what is it? The thing that Lucy and Ethel eat the chocolates off of. Conveyor belt. Everything feels like a conveyor belt show.
I hear that.
And now, they're spending enough time in pre-production and writing. And I was like, okay, if HBO is going to have its own streaming service, it's not going to be like that because HBO is the shit. But now I'm like, oh, they're doing like these sort of half-baked kind of...
Well, it's because nobody has any fucking money. Everything that we're going to talk about in the show today, I want to give like a little bit, except for a few things. I look at this list, it's like all about cash grabs.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
Is that very Mercury retrograde right now?
Okay. Is it a Mercury retrograde thing? It is and it's not. You know, what is a retrograde? It's like a redo, a revision. We're re-looking at situations. And so
a
what
reunion.
Ooh!
Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
Oh, quite good, Molly.
Like, do you think Jennifer Aniston's astrologer was like, this is an auspicious time to release the reunion special?
Because no, I think it's fate. What I really think is it's God. It's heavens going, let's actually get super real. Yes, we can be nostalgic. Yes, we can pay them. We can celebrate the good times, but let's expose some shit. Number one, that this was actually boring as shit. Vanilla ass, white bread ass. The only black people on here are K-pop. Okay. And the, you know what I mean? It is the most boring vanilla white people shit. The big thing was Gaga doing Smelly Cat. That is not good.
Yeah.
That is not good.
And Lisa Kudrow looking like she wanted to jump off a bridge the whole time. She looks uncomfortable. Sarah, what do eclipses mean? What is it? You said from last week until June 10th is what?
So eclipses are fate points in the collective. So during eclipses, we don't really manifest. We don't really do too much witch work. The whole point of eclipses is to notice and to observe, because the universe and fate and destiny are having its way with you. So things and people and places and information get washed out and get washed in. And then from that place of like more illuminated knowledge, you then can manifest, right? But not only is this a regular eclipse season, we have so many planets in retrograde right now, including Mercury in Gemini. We have the Sun in Gemini. This next new moon is in Gemini with Mercury. And we have Venus not quite yet moved out of Gemini. So we have a huge amount of planets in Gemini. So what does that mean? This is a whole 2 weeks of the other side of the story coming out.
Okay.
Okay. I like the sound of that.
Truths being revealed, things coming out, a different way of looking at something. People showing their true colors. I think Matthew Perry being obviously drunk, and then he had dental surgery the day. Who gets dental surgery the day before the big Friends reunion?
I also felt really bad for him, because the only thing he really contributed to the conversation was, I had really bad anxiety and it made me feel bad because I had to make people laugh so much.
In one segment he says, and maybe it was just like an interview with E! Or something, but he does say, they were like, well, were you abusing substances at that time? And he said, well, at the time I was way, it actually was a cool answer. He said, at the time I was way younger and it was easier for me to hide it. I'm sure some people knew, but the truth is I was drinking on set and I was on Quaaludes.
Mm. Okay. It's very vintage, whatever it is. But like, that's what I thought was right. I don't know. I guess that's why I was like, oh, this is so like canned, because I feel like, for me, maybe just because like I like, you know, would be watching something to get the real dirt and the real emotion, and I wanted to like it to be everyone. I wanted them all to be really crying from a real place of like, you know, and talking about their shit, because they were all emotional, but I wanted to like really get in there. But like I feel like they kind of baited us a little bit, because I thought that they had a soundbite of him in some of the previous being say like crying and saying something emotional. I was like, oh my God, we're going to go through the, like, you know, they're going to all talk to him being like, yo dude, we were really worried about you and you like fucking took us through it. I thought that we were going to have the big like intervention-y type moment in which they all of their like dirt like came, you know, where everything was being drugged.
Now that would be good. Yeah.
Dirty
laundry. You're gonna be
dirty laundry.
That's why you're going to be a great producer. You're going to be a famous producer, Emmy, because that's exactly what the show needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you know what I think it was? And now, like, just thinking about the fact that they didn't mention the drugs or drinking, I think that they sanitized the crap out of this, because they thought, if we get a whole family to sit and watch it together, then we're going to hook the next generation on watching Friends reruns.
Totally.
That's what this was all about. This was all
This was a syndication ploy?
Yeah, this was all about Walt Disney saying, oh, we're going to re-release Snow White every 10 years just because parents won't bring their kids to see it. Yeah. Like the Lion King remake in CGI, there was literally no one wanted that, but they're like, well, there's nothing else for families to do, so they're going to watch it, and then they're going to buy the old Lion King. So it was just their way of like repurposing some old IP and making it super duper family friendly so that it becomes even more of a nostalgia staple. I think that's what they were going for.
Here's what I'm curious about. And you guys can just move the podcast right along if you want. I know that we've been on for 5 hours and we actually have a time crunch, but I do have their charts up. Okay. So, you know, I don't know what's interesting to you guys.
I want to know, what is Jennifer Aniston's deal?
Great question.
She's just always, people love her. And this is a great segue into our next topic anyway, which is the Brangelina divorce. I have always been team Ange because for some reason, and I know people are probably going to be screaming at their iPhones now listening to this, I just don't find Jennifer Aniston to be a very authentic person. And I don't know why. What can you tell me about her chart? Does she have Libra or
Gemini? She's the driest celebrity. She's always like a vino. Her skin is dry. Her throat is dry. She drinks smart water. She's like the driest celebrity. So eye drops is what I don't even know. But she's a very dry celebrity.
She loves eye drops. She is having a hydration crisis. So,
but then she also has smart water.
She's dry as fuck.
Whoa. Okay, somebody get Jen some lotion. It doesn't matter how much Botox you get. If your skin is flaking off, that's why you're going to stay divorced. Okay?
Also, everyone on the show's faces just looked so crazy. I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to talk about that, but everyone looked that job. Except Lisa Kudrow and Diva Schumer looked okay, and Matt LeBlanc. Yeah. Okay, so what's Jennifer Aniston's deal? Tell us.
Molly, I want to tell you that your astrology is getting better and better every week. Yeah, you fucking nailed it.
It's because of you.
I'm a Cancer son, I'm a natural teacher, okay, but you're right, she's a fucking Libra rising, okay, that's why she's like a great TV star, that's why she's not doing anything too fucking dramatic, that's why she's dry, because it's just like a fucking basic ass problem that you can connect with all the people on, right? We all need to drink more water. Until Diana sold me a fucking crystal water bottle, she sent it to me begging me to drink water. I wasn't even into it either, so I get it. Jennifer Aniston is like the most basic bitch. And she is a Libra rising, just going like, hey, I'm just like you guys. You know, I did read one thing when I was coming down here. It was really mean, but it was somebody that was working on the show. It was like a blind post, but they were saying that Jennifer Aniston was the biggest disappointment for them in real life because she was not attractive, and that they did all these photo shoots and actually like they really didn't have any good photos of her because she's actually had so much work done now that like, in the photos that she looks good and she looks really good in, but that actually in real life, she's really hard to photograph and shoot because she just does look sort of weird.
The work is so weird too that she's gotten done. And I'm just saying this as like a plastic surgery connoisseur.
You're a fan. You're not a hater. You're a fan.
Sure. I'm a sommelier of injectables. And
Molly's presidential platform. $10,000 for plastic surgery for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why she's so puffy. She's puffy.
I feel like that's a common sort of thing of like people who get older. We all get older, but like, you know, with people who are getting work done. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like we can say that like most celebrities when it gets to a certain point, they're all like getting work done.
I mean,
we're gonna. Yeah. But it's like, I can't imagine that, you know, people like Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, all of those kinds of people, they should be getting the best work out there, right? Like,
let me tell you something. The Capricorn Moon, Mars, and the eighth house in me wants to put a shout out. Anybody who's listening or anybody in your networks, it seems like there's a niche in the market and we need to revolutionize. Because, right, if the richest people that are on TV in the United States of America are actually not guaranteed good work, or you know, it's kind of like the same conversation where it's like only the women have to take birth control. It's like, let's have that conversation. Like, if you're gonna get work done, let's also make sure that like it can look natural and that your skin looks hydrated and you don't like the fact that there's no way for you to get work done without it looking like you got work done. That's a huge problem.
There is a way though. I think this is where dysmorphia comes into play, because the thing is, a lot of the time people are getting work based on their insecurities, when what you should be getting work to do is to enhance your strengths. If you're getting work because you're like, ooh, I want to have my same face from the 90s, that's never going to happen. And you shouldn't be getting that work. What you should be getting is, here's another possibility. Like, people get a little bloated and puffy as they age. So maybe, like, let's eclipse this. Maybe she's had no work done.
But no, but she, yeah, has, definitely has. She's pretty open about it. She got a nose job when she was like 12.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically.
Right. One thing, like before, I don't know when we're moving on from Friends, but I just also, one thing that shocked me that I think would, that we would all be remiss to not mention is that, like, how, one thing that I thought that they were going to touch on was like that Friends like was so homophobic, transphobic. There are so many like things in the past that I'm sort of surprised that they didn't just like make a, let's just like cover that so that we can just have a canned statement about it. You know what I mean? I was sort of shocked that they didn't mention it.
I feel the exact same. And I had a similar thought, like in the same line where I was watching the best of clips and I was like, why weren't they doing sketches like Black Friends? Would have been interesting. It would have actually been like authentic and responsible, but this was totally a PR play.
How funny that the most innocuous white bread show that didn't ever want to step outside the lines or make a splash or be edgy still had like tons of homophobia and transphobia and sexism.
It was so homophobic. Yeah.
It just kind of goes to show you, though, that, like, a lot of the time, it just is, like, truly a product of the era, and it's, and it takes a really, really outside-the-box thinker to kind of know that that is going to age poorly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, actually, it has to do with the astrology of the moment. The truth is, moving forward, here's the issue. It isn't about even out-of-the-box thinkers or any, it's because everything is business. And so much of the TV that we grew up watching in the 90s was actually like a response to, like, it's like, even like if you watch like Hillary Clinton, it's like they do polls, they find out what polls well, and then that's what she says, right? Like, it actually has nothing to do with authenticity. It has nothing to do with like anyone actually presenting their art or being themselves. And that is why we have a healthcare system that doesn't take care of anybody's health. It's why we have two parties in government that both don't give a fuck about the actual people, even though the people are the ones that are voting them into. It's like all of the structures and the systems. And it's why everybody in Hollywood's a motherfucking pedophile, right? Like, nobody actually cared about was really in the heart space or was really going on or was representative of the people. They cared about making money, and this is a capitalist society. And it was like, oh, well, if a lot of the people are a little bit racist and a little bit homophobic, then that's the TV we're making. And it was like no deeper than that. And and it kind of still isn't. But that's why they're, that's why we're talking about their bad Botox and how boring this was, instead of being like, what an interesting show, because they are stuck there trying to keep those, that Rachel Green face. And yet, it really isn't what's going on in any of their lives. And then there's all, the funny thing too is there's all those, if you Google it, like there are like 30 headlines that will come up where it's like, so-and-so confirms this will be the one and only reunion that ever happens. Yeah. They will never do this again. It's like, oh my God. So how much did they say that? Nobody even wanted to be there, it seems. Like, it's like such a money, it's a money grab. That's what it is.
For sure.
So what about the astrology of this moment is making everything into a money grab?
Well, so we've talked about it a couple episodes. If you're a stan, you'll know, but I'm gonna say it again because honestly, astrology is fucking cuckoo. If you don't get it yet, you're not supposed to. Just stay with me. It's a life's work, okay? But we have Saturn, the planet of structures and rules and lessons, moving through Aquarius, which is broadcast, which is technology, which is the people. It is like the globe. Like it's every individual as a collective, right? That's Aquarius. And all year it is square, meaning it's in a challenging, ultimately creative conversation, but it is in a fight. It is in a, you think this, I think this, and we have got to figure out how to meet in the middle so we can turn the ship and not hit the iceberg, right? So Uranus, the planet of like, whoop, 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 everything's changing. You heard it on the fucking log line of the show. Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus, because Uranus is about crazy shit happening. It's about fame and publicity and the public and all of a sudden things being revealed, right? So Uranus is, it started about a year and a half ago. And for the next 5 years, Uranus is going to move through Taurus. What is Taurus? Earth. Taurus is Mother Earth. It's Gaia. It's values. It's money. It's business. It's the foundation. So basically our foundation, we are in a like seven, we're in like year one and a half of a 7 year on Earth earthquake. It includes coronavirus. It includes carbon emissions. All the stuff that we have been doing to kill each other, to fucking bastardize our actual heart-centered values and to kill the planet, you know, for the sake of money and business. We are going to get, that is all going to shift. And because that that square in Aquarius is holding it. It's kind of like the thing responding to these like shakeups, right? Coronavirus, perfect example. It was like, oops, actually, no one's safe. Doesn't matter how much money you have, people dying. Like, right? It's a global pandemic. To be like, actually, let's really think about the healthcare system. Actually, let's really think about how we do global communications. The fact that the CDC changed their fucking, I don't know if I'm supposed to wear a mask inside anymore. It keeps changing, right? There are huge problems with the safety of the people and the global conversation and communication and technology and broadcast. The messaging doesn't really make sense, right? We're actually learning not to trust people. This is the end of Les Mis, because it's, do you hear the people sing? Like, why is Fantine even still in the show? Because we have to finish the storyline. We got to figure out what the lessons were, because actually there's too many people in this cast and half of them are dead. So we got to fucking move this theater along, right? So Earth right now is going through a major earthquake. It's going through a crisis and the people don't feel safe. Right now, like until like mid-2022, we are going to be feeling this massive waves, these waves of confusion where we're like, what is true? What is true? Because right, when they made Friends, it wasn't true that it was a show for homophobes. Now that's true. I mean, no, I'm not calling you all homophobes. But it's just like, right, when the culture changes, look, culture shapes the way that we judge each other and think about each other and relate to each other, right?
It didn't feel like 21. It felt like we were all regressing back into the 90s, in which they were like, oh, no, time has passed, whatever. And instead of like doing a real deep dive or talk, I don't know, it sounds like it has to be like an issue-based thing or whatever it is, but they're like grabs of 2021 and staying relevant, or like putting Justin Bieber in a potato costume.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. Like, right, like you want to defend Matthew Perry for a second. If I was being asked to give a big reaction to Cara Delevingne wearing a dress that I could expect that she would wear, I would be drunk too.
Also, though, just to play devil's advocate, that is 2021 entertainment, because that's like The Masked Singer, which is like, you know what I mean? Like, we are so like toothless as a culture right now that is what it is. Like, this is going to be a huge ratings bonanza for them because it's completely toothless, inoffensive, Big Bang Theory, Masked Singer programming.
What is going on is that we are really understanding that we actually don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And that we don't know who to trust, right?
You really can't say risky things in general broadcast anymore, like it without creating a giant uproar. It used
Molly,
to
be- you have cut so many of my funny one-liners.
I know, because I don't want us to get canceled before
I know start. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, right, we like even the comedians aren't safe.
Like, I already have in my head like three things you said that I probably have to cut. And I love you for saying them.
Patreon only, if you want to hear me say like slightly racist. Yeah, I called K-pop black, but I was making a point, you know? It was just so white. It was so vanilla to me. But right, on some level, vanilla is at least safe. Right. Or chocolate is safe. Or specifically, whatever, if you're playing, you have to like identify the game.
It's not even about like offensive jokes. It's about the fact that like, you know, 20% of the country like low key believes in QAnon. Like, we have being on even remotely the same page has left the building. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing we can all relate to is Justin Bieber in a potato costume. Emmy's gotta go. So Emmy, thank you so much.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me. This is the best time ever. Have me back. We'll just get into it some more.
Also, you guys, like, just for fun, we should just do IG lives sometimes because we're performers. Emmy, sorry, you're on camera. I know you didn't plan on it, but you're an on-camera bitch, okay? Sorry.
Apparently I am. You called the shots, babe. Okay. Love you both.
You're a star, bitch. Come back anytime.
Thank you, Emmy.
Hey, you guys, welcome back. We just listened to one half of the Mariah song, and we are feeling so fucking great.
Yeah, we had a great talk with Emmy. It was amazing. I feel like we were all on the exact same page.
You know why? Because intuitively, we're gifted. Sorry, hate to say it, but sometimes it just feels right.
Now, who's intuitively not gifted? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Well, that is the big, I actually think it's Angelina. I think Brad's incredibly gifted. I think Angelina is a bit of a, I mean, she's so lucky. She's so pretty.
Okay.
She's so pretty.
Yeah.
She is truly psycho.
So here's the thing. I don't want to do this narrative of the woman is crazy and the psycho and the divorce.
Right.
But
right.
The thing is with
she divorce. She might be psycho, dude. But she might be psycho. She might be actually psycho.
Yeah. The thing with divorce is from what I've heard, I'm not really close with anyone who's had a divorce.
We've never been divorced. We don't really know. Our parents are married reluctantly. We really truly, we're more of a stay in there, stay married type of family.
White knuckle it all the way to death.
Kill you, but happy that you're there when I die.
Yeah. So I don't really know much about divorce firsthand is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what I've heard is it just gets ugly because you take any little tiny piece of weakness in your partner and exploit it with the lawyers.
Well, and that's like, it's like the least safe space you can be, because like the whole point of getting married is that you're like, okay, I'm going to take all my walls down and I'm going to really show you who I am. And then they're going to use it against you legally.
So they announced they were getting divorced in 2016. They didn't get married till 2014. They were only married for 2 years.
I think the marriage was a huge mistake. I mean, there's no mistakes. Everything's meant to be. Everyone's living out their karma. But like them being more of like an alternative couple would have been better. But like, I feel the minute you get married to Angelina, you're fucked.
Why?
Okay, first of all, talk about this.
Well, let me say what the story is.
Give me the story, and then I'll tell you why she is crazy.
So basically, the newest development is they finalized the divorce a couple years ago, but they just hammered out the custody agreement, and they'd got joint custody.
But it took a really long,
really long
time. It took
time.
Like 2 years of and life. They've been getting divorced for 2 years.
Yeah, and when? No, they've been getting divorced for almost 5 years. They announced the divorce in 2016.
So wait, when did they get married?
2014.
They got married in 2014. When did Mr. Smith and Smith come out? That must have been like, what, 2012?
They were together for a total of like 14 years, I think.
All right, that's pretty good. So I just want to say, Angie and Brad, if you're listening, it was not a failure. That 14 years is a long time, and you did it.
I agree. I don't think it's a failed marriage. Expand our definition of what that means. Yeah. But
we've all been in messy breakups, but when it's about marriage and kids and money, it gets ugly.
So in 2016, when they announced the divorce, and that's when, you know, the court battles started, Angelina announced that, or I guess she didn't announce, but she allowed her sources to sort of go tell all the tabloids.
Right. Brad, she didn't announce, but she had it announced.
She had it announced that Brad had an altercation with Maddox, the oldest
son. On a private plane. He was too drunk and he was abusive.
Right. So it turns out what actually happened was he never like laid a hand on him, but apparently he did yell at him. People saw the tapes. The tapes got released, which apparently Angelina was pissed about because it didn't really reinforce.
Do you have the tapes? I'll watch them later, but I would love to see those tapes.
They're not out. It's just been described in the different tabloids.
What happened?
Just they were yelling at each other. Him and Angelina were yelling at each other, and Maddox stepped in, and Brad continued to then yell at Maddox. But there was no touching.
Oh, okay. So it's like regular family shit, you mean?
Yeah, they were just yelling at each other.
Oh, Angelina is such a little bitch. Right. She's such a drama.
Okay, but this is the thing. We don't, like, it's so hard to tell because, yes, it was very underhanded for her to sort of, like, have her representatives go and talk to whatever magazine and say that was happening. But also maybe that's just the only tape that's out. Maybe it did happen. We don't know is my point. We don't know who was right or who was wrong, and we don't know what happened because it's private. But
I know, but I do have the charts, and I will tell you what the astrology says. But yes, that is private. We don't really know, but I can tell you right now that I do think that Brad is a relatively normal person.
Okay, he seems that way, but at the same time, we always give men the benefit of the doubt.
But his chart specifically, I looked at his chart because I would marry him right away. I mean, I want to be clear. If Brad, if you're listening, I'm totally interested. Okay. But so Brad's chart, he's not look, you want to talk about Emmy and the eclipses? Brad's do you want to guess? I'll tell you.
Wait, let me just finish saying.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
So the new news this week is that
I stan Brad. Okay.
Yes, so do I. And I stan Angelina as well. The news this week is that Angelina is upset that she says the court system failed her by not letting her kids testify. Right. So I guess she was thinking that they have they have five kids now, and they're between the ages of 13 and 19, and she wanted them to testify. So I guess they were going to be briefing the court against Brad. So this is a really weird thing to get mad about, because it's implying that the kids don't like their dad as much as they like their mom, which isn't nice. And something else that's really strange is yes. the fact that she sort of pimps the kids out. She brings them to premieres. She calls the paparazzi and gets photographed with them, and Brad never does any of this. So it does make me think there is a very calculated PR war going on. And Brad is just like sitting in his corner producing 12 Years a Slave, using his privilege to like get black filmmakers funding. That is what Brad Pitt does.
No, I think Brad is like salt of the earth, really good dude. Yeah. And I think Angelina is, I mean, without even saying who Angelina is, who Brad is, I think that, let's be so super clear, the first man in Angelina's life that she takes seriously was her little baby Maddox that she saved. Mm-hmm. And she wants to be down in history as a woman who saved the children from the impoverished nations. And I think she puts Maddox on an incredible pedestal that I would bet, this is like me hypothesizing, I took two shots, okay? But I think that she has an attachment to her children before she, I think her children were always going to be her partners before Brad was, which is fine. They came first, but she adopted a lot of kids before Brad came into the picture.
I think she had three. Yeah, she had three before Brad came in.
Three from all different struggling nations, and they're all fabulous and gorgeous. She has great taste, okay? But, you know, I think that she kind of also always knew that, I think deep down in her soul, if it came down to it, those are her kids. And that's her bounty. That's not the right word, but like, yeah, that's her insurance policy. They're hers.
Now, here's the thing that dovetails perfectly with what you're saying that never sat right with me. When they did finally get married in 2014, her veil was covered and her dress were covered in drawings that the kids had done.
What?
You got the kids' little shitty kid doodles.
God, was it so ugly?
It was kind of cool. It was kind of a look. Like, I really liked it. I thought it was really unique, but I also thought that was a very strange sort of enmeshment to have your children's drawings in your wedding dress.
Dude, Molly, that's like exactly what I'm saying.
Enmeshment.
Like, right. That is a weird enmeshment. That is such a perfect way to put it. Right. She was like putting like right there between, and actually if you think like the physicality, like there between her and him in the wedding even.
Yeah.
Right. She wasn't picking a life partner. She was saying, me and my kids are here with you on this day and we'll see how you do.
Yeah, exactly. And we will never know what changed between them and why they ended up getting a divorce. I always thought they seemed like they were so on the same page.
I know. So, I actually really liked them as a couple. I will say I liked them a lot.
Yeah. Like even the whole thing of like when they started dating with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I just was like, I was so taken with that, even though I hate cheaters more than anything in the world.
No, but I totally got it. Even watching that movie, it was like, damn, they are a match.
They were hot.
It was hot.
And remember that GQ photo shoot with all the little kids that looked exactly like Brad? I'll post it in my Instagram stories whenever we launch this episode. It was the best thing ever. I just loved them. They were such a weird, cool couple and like a weird subversion of the typical Hollywood couple. I don't know. So,
well, but the reason it was a weird, no, I'm going to say that the reason it was a weird subversion though is because he was so like, you know, like, I mean, he wasn't a virgin, but he was sort of like the Tim Tebow of Hollywood. You know, like he was sort of like the golden boy. Like he takes his mother to every show. He, you know, he's actually like a Missouri guy, like down home, sweetie patootie.
And he was married to Jennifer Aniston, everybody's like girl next door.
But you know why they got divorced? The reason that their relationship was starting to fall apart was because she doesn't want kids and he wanted kids. So Angelina, the most beautiful woman on planet Earth right now, is co-starring in a movie with him. She has three kids and wants more, and he's a guy who grew up in Missouri. He's a middle of the country white boy who happens to be gorgeous and talented, and I am available, Brad, but I think he thought like, oh shit, a mother to the family, I want to have a lot. He wanted a lot of kids, and Jennifer does not want children. And that is that what that's why they have such a good relationship now. They didn't break up because of Angelina, and they didn't break up because of any kind of problems they had. At the end of the day, she doesn't want kids and he did. Period.
That's such a really good point. Yeah. And also, like, I just think it's so funny. I would never, ever let my fiance work on a movie with someone who looks like an actual fertility vase, you know?
I would let him, and I would be there, and I would find myself a role in the back. I would be I'd be the waitress at the party in every single scene.
Yeah.
I would let him for the paycheck. But I would fucking be there. And if anything, I'd be like, let's have a threesome. I wouldn't. No, I'm psycho. I would insert myself.
Yeah. Not to be totally retro.
That's where Jen, I think, actually was like, go. That's why Jen's like, fine, divorce me. I don't care. I think Jen's a very old soul, actually, even though she seems sort of like basic vanilla. I think she really is kind of just, yeah, she is dehydrated and she is a product spokesmodel. But I think she does know who she is. And I think she doesn't want kids. I think she's very happy being a sort of basic ass actress and having a fabulous beach home and doing yoga by herself on the patio. I think that actually satisfies her completely.
Yeah. You know what else? I think maybe she is hydrated and she's telling the rest of us that we're dehydrated.
You actually think she's perfectly hydrated?
I think she's like, I know you bitches are thirsty. I've seen you steal my husband. I've seen you thirst over every man that I've dated. So let me help you. Let me help you with some eye drops.
Oh, she's like doing what I do. She's like playing the she's playing the dehydrated buffoon.
Yeah.
But in fact, she's like, no, you're all dehydrated. Let me give you some smart water and some fucking Vaseline, please.
I think that's exactly it.
Okay, that's a great thing. Hot take. I love that.
I think, okay, so let me guess Brad and Angelina's signs.
Yes,
I
have no idea.
No idea what their signs are.
Okay, now, so let's start with Brad, because I am in love with him.
I know, I am too. He's got such a cute little delicate face.
I think he's such a catch.
He is so hot. Like,
it's so fucking hot. Dude, he looks better. Like, I've never seen a man, even Clooney. Like, I want to be clear.
Clooney's too skinny little, he's like a Geico gecko to me.
And you know what? He gets older. He's looking older.
Yeah.
He's lucky he found them all. And I agree with you. He's scrawny and he's sort of, I don't know. To me, Brad if I saw Brad walking down the street, I would be like, whoa. Clooney, you know, the whole story about Clooney is that he was like not a good actor and not even that attractive, but he basically got in the heads of all the casting people and he became the most reliable. This is like on record. He became the most reliable guy. That's why he started getting work, because they were like, you know, it's like the comics that like do really well. And you're like, oh, cause they have their five that just like crushes. But even though everyone's said it a million times, but at least it's safe. They know what they're going to say. That was George became the poster boy for exactly what you want him to be just reliable and basic. And I'm not attracted to that. Brad is a can't miss, found him in the mall talent. I mean, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
And smart and talented and evolved. I mean, I guess I'm just here to say, Brad, I fucking love you. I love you.
Yeah. I also, he really helps me support my thesis that Quentin Tarantino is the most feminist filmmaker of our lifetime.
Whoa, tell me more. What?
Because Quentin Tarantino put Brad Pitt shirtless on a roof in the hot sun in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What?
Oh, I mean, so such a great, no, that movie, I liked the movie, but I loved Brad.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Like, what man does us a solid like that ever? Nobody ever does anything like that for us.
Yeah, coming off of two Kill Bills where Uma fucking crushed. Yeah, he loves women. Tarantino loves women, and he's here for the women, and he's helping us.
He is. And one of my biggest presentations that I did in undergrad when I was doing film studies was all about how all of the action in Pulp Fiction is propelled by men not wanting to disappoint women. And it's true. And next time you watch it,
that makes me want to see. This is why you're so brilliant. This is why we're here. I would only do space trash with you, bitch. Because like, what an interesting way to rewatch the amount of times that ex-boyfriends have had me. Let's book Kill Bill, and I go, you know what? I don't know. It's fine. We've watched it 1,000 times, but actually, from that, looking at it through that lens, I'm now interested again. All of a sudden,
I love Tarantino. Pulp Fiction is a movie about boys being buffoons. Mm-hmm. There's even that line in it when Uma Thurman is like, when you little scamps get together, you're worse than a sewing circle. That's what the whole movie is about. It's about men.
Yeah, you're right.
It's about men being drama queens and petty little babies and having cat fights.
Yeah. Right. And taking every moment really seriously and like acting in these parts that they're not even authentic to.
Right. And creating their own messes that they have to then get out of. Like Bruce Willis deciding to take money to lose that, to like throw the fight or whatever. Like, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, and well, also, I will say this for Tarantino, and this is a first thought. I want to say I've never had this thought before, but I so my issue with Tarantino in the past, Randy would always be like, let's just, he always wants to watch, and I'm just like, you know, babe, it's violent. They're so bloody. They're just violent. But you want to know something? I'm fucking bleeding out of my pussy right now. Okay. Women actually are covered in blood. We're violent and we're bloody. And I actually do think that part of why it's uncomfortable is because we shame like grossness or violence or periods.
We're supposed to hide it.
Right. I actually want to say you have changed my opinion of Tarantino completely in the last 4 minutes. And I am moved. And I think we should watch Tarantino later. We can talk about it next time. But you actually have me wanting to rewatch these movies that I usually fight about watching again from this different perspective. Right. He's actually a feminist.
Have you ever seen Jackie Brown?
I've never seen Jackie Brown.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Now we're going on a totally different tangent. But
while we're on the tangent, can I tell you something? One thing that's really embarrassing and funny though?
Yeah.
So I was also a film student and I had to write a thesis about something that existed in the culture and make a point. And you know what my big thesis was?
What?
I wrote one of the only papers I completed. I wrote about Dora the Explorer.
No.
Yeah. I was so stumped and in my own shit. I couldn't finish one screenplay. I was having panic attacks because I thought that I was going to be like the next big thing and I could not even figure out like structure or format or whatever. My final paper was on how Dora was the only feminist character in television today. I'm not even kidding. I wrote like 30 pages on why Dora was our only hope.
I can't believe we don't have jobs in the film industry today.
I just told you we're gonna reinvent. I want to see what Tarantino would do with Dora now that she's a couple years older. That's what I want. Oh, Friends reunion can fuck the hell off. They're all pretending to be still 20 living in that apartment and all with only white people. No, I want Tarantino to have Dora fucking slicing people's throats off. That is TV I would watch.
But we would have to look at a lot of close-ups of her feet, and that would be uncomfortable.
Well, get her a pedicure. You know, put her in some sneakers. Who cares? Yeah. You know, she doesn't wear the Stevas forever. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes wearing open-toed shoes, and I think, you know.
And the Tarantino foot stuff is just like the price of admission at this point. It's like, you know, when you go to your grandma's house and you're like, I have to get called fat in order to get the beefaroni. Like,
first of all, yes, love that. Yes, and I think Tarantino is actually so subversive and so feminist. Let's just go with this. Okay, I'm going hard. I think that he would reveal Dora's feet, and I think that would be dainty as – I think she would have a pedicure. I think that would be dainty as fuck, and I think he would have her in stilettos fucking kicking people in the throat, cutting their fucking jugular. Like, I think that he'll have Dora's back is what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to make a fool of Dora.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
I think he's going to turn Dora's feet into, like, the number one anime category on Pornhub.
Wow, it's happening. Dora the Explorer, Quentin Tarantino.
If it happens, just know you heard it here first, folks.
It's going to be, oh, my God, it's going to be, like,
You hear Molly? That's Molly having faith, you guys. It's not what it would be. It's what it's going to be. And that's what I'm talking about, Molly. Yes, conviction.
It's
going
to be revisionist history revenge porn where she defeats Donald Trump.
Whoa.
Dora crawls through the gate at the White House or, like, Mar-a-Lago. And, like, oh, my God, she pretends to be a cleaning lady at Mar-a-Lago.
Whoa,
Donald
yes.
Trump's racist ass doesn't look at her twice because he's like, oh, there's a little Latina girl cleaning, of course. No, well, she's an assassin. And then she kicks him in the jugular with her stiletto, and he dies before he can even, like, this is, like, even before the inauguration or something like that. Like, before he can inflict any damage.
So you guys just missed it. Molly and I just had a whole Mariah dance party, and we're talking about how horrible we were at film school because screenwriting was such a challenge. And I actually think we've got something here.
I think so too.
Dora preventing a Trump presidency is a movie I would watch.
Okay, Brad and Jen.
Brad and Angelina. Brad. Okay, what do you think Brad's Sun, Moon, Rising are?
This is actually the hardest one ever.
It really is. It's good. It surprised me when I saw it. But actually, okay, can I give you a hint?
Yes.
If you and Brad were to meet, your career would hit him in his Sun, Moon, Rising in a really good way, Mal. He's going to be very impressed with your Dora Melania Trump script, as I'm going to say.
What's my career again? Isn't it Jupiter?
Well, it's your Sagittarius. You have your MC's in Sagittarius, then your Sun and your Mercury's in Capricorn.
Okay, so he's a Sagittarius.
He's a Sagittarius and a Sagittarius rising. His Moon, his Mars, and his Mercury, and his Venus. Ah! All pretty much in the same place in Capricorn, baby. This guy could be both of our soulmates. He's the one.
Whoa. He's the
fucking one, dude. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is Angelina is so fucking serious.
All right,
He's like, yo, I'm the dad. Sometimes dads yell. And otherwise, let's just fucking have a nice life. And she's like, no, Maddox was on my veil. You know, and it's like, yo, man, why are you fucking weaponizing Maddox? But I do think that she made Maddox feel like he was the number one, and he is going to he's like, you know, it's just, I'm making it sound worse than it is. It's not like so bad.
Yeah.
But no, she didn't adopt him with a partner. It was her and Maddox for a really long time.
She sort of parentified him.
She has the most beautiful family in Hollywood, and she wanted to keep them for herself. And they did not need to be with Brad anymore. And he's like, yo, fuck you, bitch. I was their dad for a long ass time.
Yeah.
I love them. And I yell at them because I'm their fucking dad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, let me guess Angelina's chart.
You're not going to guess it, but let's try.
Oh!
Sorry, I don't mean to be a hater, but, like, it shocked me. When I pulled it up, I was like, wow.
Okay. The vibes in this divorce have been scorpionic. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't seem like a very mercurial person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She seems like she shoots from the hip. She doesn't seem like there's really plotting going
does
on.
Does not seem like she's planning. No. She's actually making some extremely weird moves. If you look at over the course of time, she's made some fucking weird impulse moves that have been like, but that's a clue. Weird impulse moves.
Sucking the Billy Bob Thornton blood.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And like making out with her brother. Not cool.
Yeah. And those things are like dynamite PR moves, but she didn't know that. She wasn't doing that on purpose.
No, she was like acting out of pure impulse, which is even weirder.
And I feel like if you're going to plot to bring someone down, like Brad Pitt is second only to Tom Hanks in people that are unbrinkdownable. You know what I mean?
Totally. Right. Brad seems like a genuinely like, but that's where it gets so crazy though, because you're like, oh, kind of from the beginning. Like, I think that she does have a bit of like a bloodlust. I mean, she is so angry at her father. John Voight did a number on her. Okay. And I think she hates men. I think she likes to fuck men. I think she likes to control men, but I don't think she has any like long-term desire I think men are pawns as much as those kids are. I mean, I think she's a little bit psycho, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, I think she loves her kids.
She loves her kids. I don't think she's a bad mom.
Yeah.
But I do think she's like, I don't think she's a bad mom, but I think that she is not a mom in the way that we're thinking about mom. I don't think she's a mom. I think she's a mother who loves her children. And I think it's a different vibe than what we're she's not at the soccer games giving out fucking, you know, orange wedges. I think she's the mom of these kids that she saved.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know, it's a little bit like her. It's still a little bit egocentric to me.
So that feels a little cancer-y to me. Like, oh my God, I'm right, aren't I? So I think because it's like she's clamping down on the motherhood role and banging it against a rock.
Exactly. Right.
With her claw, you know?
Right. She's using motherhood.
Yeah. So she's Cancer. I still can't decide if she's Scorpio or not. And I think there's got to be some Aries in there because
Molly, I am so proud of you. You heard it here first, you guys. I was wrong. I said, Molly, you're never going to guess it. And I think she just nailed that shit. Okay. You ready for this?
Yes.
He is a 28 degree Cancer rising, 28 degree Cancer Venus.
Whoa.
17 degree 12th house Cancer Saturn. So a whole lot of Cancer. And her Saturn and Cancer in the 12th house. She actually is kind of being like driven from an unconscious place. Saturn is like control, burdens, boundaries, lessons. She like had to have kids so that she could actually be allowed to be the control freak that she is, right? If she was trying to act the way she acts with men, it would continue to be completely fucking unacceptable. But when you're the mother of a fucking seven-person brood and it's your job to protect them, you can act how the fuck you want, right? We totally forgive moms that kill their children's killers, right? She yes. needs those kids to be able to be as fucking psychotic and controlling, and she needed them. Until she had those kids, she actually was less normal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so she has all, so she has her, and of course she has Venus conjunct her ascendant. She's maybe the most beautiful person on earth, okay?
Yeah.
So, but she, 28 degree Cancer. Now I'm a 27 degree Cancer sun. So, you know, but it's not on my rising. Okay. Her costume is mommy in the most beautiful, psychotic, driven from another side way. Okay. Her moon is conjunct, meaning in the same place as her Mars, fight, action, fuck you, and her Jupiter, making things bigger, abundance, and her MC, her legacy in Molly's the best, Aries.
Yes. Oh my God.
And why it's even so much more fun is because we have been talking, again, we don't know if the audio is going to be good enough because it was a little spotty, but we've been talking a lot about Gemini, and we got Gemini eclipse coming up. It is Gemini season. Well, let me tell you something right now. This bitch, 11th house, meaning like public, career, fame, global technology broadcast, Gemini, Sun, Mercury.
Wow. Right
on these two eclipses. So this court case happening at this exact moment is completely faded.
Mm-hmm.
It is. She does need to go through this publicly, and hopefully it will shift her perception, or it could shift our perception of her. And she has a chance to sort of become a more, you know, the best case scenario for the Gemini energy in any place in your chart and at any time is to just see the other side of things. So my hope would be that by the end of this next eclipse, perhaps, and this is a crazy thing to say because I would never predict it unless I was looking at the chart. But now that I see your chart, I think best case scenario, if she is truly an evolved person, she might actually forgive Brad. And actually, I would love to see her make a statement saying, you know, let me tell you something. I've been through a lot of, I've never been married, but I feel like I have a couple. I'm a couple of people's first wives, Molly. Okay. I've been through some hilarious breakups. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I'm in the, throes of a breakup without kids, I'm fucking psychotic. Okay. I am a 27 degree Cancer sign. It's not so different. Okay. And I'm a Gemini rising. Actually, Angelina and I are actually not that different at all. Okay. And I have a North Node in Aries. So Angelina, actually, I should be taking a page from her in a way, right? I'm that crazy. When I'm hurt or when I feel that I'm the sweetest, I'm a mommy I love. If I feel that my boundaries have been crossed, especially if your penis has been inside of me, I will shock you with how low I will go. I'm not proud of it, but this is a pot. I'm not here to be perfect. I want to share my soul with you.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
I think best case scenario, Angelina sees the situation and sees herself and sees Brad in a way that brings her a little bit. They loved each other. Okay. We all saw the chemistry.
100%. 100%.
We were fucking horny in the theater, and we knew it was a movie, right? They really did have something. And I think she has issues around control and men. And I actually don't think she wants to be in partnership. I think she actually really wants to be alone with the kids controlling as the mommy. I think she loves men because they're beautiful and she can have anyone she wants. Why? Yeah. Of course, if you have anyone you want fucking salt of the earth, gorgeous ass, talented ass Brad Pitt who takes his mommy to award shows. He's the best. He's literally like the LeBron of actors. He's the greatest. Okay. And would make total sense for her to go, okay, now you're my other child. And he's going, no, I'm not a fucking child. I'm a partner. I can yell at our kids. And she's like, no, you cannot. She's like, I bet she was treating him like the youngest. I bet she was literally wanting him to be her, like her hot guy that was just there. She would have preferred him to be a dum-dum that was absent than to actually have cared as much as he did, which is to get into his teenager's face and yell at him. No, parent, let me be super clear. Parents scream at their kids. That's what fucking happens. Okay.
No one wants that to happen. It's not the best case scenario, but like once in a while, you're going to probably snap once in a while.
Find a human on earth whose father never actually got rage mad at them for acting in a way that made them scared. I think Brad loved those kids, and I think he loved her. And I think he was shocked that she tried to turn his parenting into like an abusive alcoholic situation. I think he was like, no, I'm sorry. We're adults. We were fighting. And no, my dad is actually a real sweetie patiti, but I remember times where like just on horrible, he one time slammed the door so hard to the front door of our house that it got stuck. And so then until the door got fixed, we had to like go around the side or the back. And like, I never go out. I always hear people home, cancer, right? So I remember like bringing like troves of kids home after like sports practices and be like, sorry, we got to go through the back. The front door doesn't open right now. My dad my dad's a cuddly, lovey dude. You know what? My mother, my brother, we're not, family is hard.
Yeah.
Family is hard and it's intimate and it brings up all your stuff. If you expect to have a husband who's going to raise your seven kids, who he also like had to meet and then really care enough to like enmesh himself with them. They were on her veil, not his. But yeah, he was like, yeah, I'm in. I'm fucking in. Of course he gets that passionately angry. I mean, what does she think? And not to mention, she didn't have like a super nice dad. Like, what the fuck did she think? You're going to fucking turn him into this abusive alcoholic because he got mad? I don't know. I mean, who knows what happens, right? We don't really know. We don't want there. But I will say this chart is not someone who's looking to be in relationship. It's someone who's using relationship to get her shit out and declare her independence more than anything above all.
Yeah, because he really also cleaned her image up, because unfortunately she was subject of a lot of like slut shaming and people saying she was trashy because of like the weird sort of antics that she had on the red carpet, which weren't hurting anyone, but people would judge her. Can you just say in a nutshell, their sinistry, what do you think, like sum up what their relationship was and what the purpose that it served and why it has ended?
So I think that Brad, with all of his he's a Sag Capricorn, right? I think Brad, with all of his Sag Capricorn, was incredible. And we were just talking about this with your chart. I think he was doing everything right. I think he was incredibly successful and hot and married. And yet, I think he was unsatisfied. I think he was bored. I think he could have gone the rest of his life being Jen's husband and being that hot, cool guy, but he has his Jupiter in Aries right on all her shit, and he has his midheaven.
All good shit, Angelina's shit?
And so Angelina's like Moon, Angelina's Mars, Angelina's Jupiter, Angelina's legacy. I think working with her turned him on in a way where he actually didn't, I don't know if he drank, like, I think he didn't recognize himself and he liked that. I think he was a really good dude, boring ass, hot ass, talented Missouri boy who took his mama to the shows. And I think he met her and he was like, whoa, am struck. And as a Virgo midheaven, the fact that she was so fucking out of control, I think he was like, project. And he was like, I'm the man you need. Because as a Virgo midheaven, I can be the structure. I can fix you. You're crazy with all these kids. I can fix you. And then she's like, I don't want to be fixed. How dare you try to fix me? And then that was like the end of it all.
Also, how about this? They were very May-December at the jump. She was 28 and he was 42.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. Like,
realize that.
They're like 11 years apart. So she was 41, something like that. But she was in her 20s and he was in his 40s when they first linked up. So that makes it even more like he looked at her as sort of below him. And now she's 44 and he's 56 or something, which is pretty much the same. So like, I think that power dynamic shifted as they both aged.
And I'll say this, he's a Sag rising, right? That means that his descendant, exactly, and his son is Sag too. His ideal partner is always going to be big time Gemini, because your rising is like sort of your identity. But then exactly opposite that, so it's always going to be the opposite sign of whatever your rising is. That's really how you do relationship and what you want in relationship. So her son and her Mercury, when he met her, he was like, oh my God, it's my literal other half. He's like, he wants a partner that's an equal to do life. That's why he's always dressing like his girlfriends, because he's like, now we're we, right? Because he does Gemini. He does relationships like a Gemini, right?
And that's because his Gemini is where?
His Gemini, so his rising, right? His ascendant is Sag.
Okay.
And his son, it happens to be also his son. But so opposite your ascendant is your descendant. That's the beginning of your seventh house of marriage and committed partnership. So in your own chart, you can look, whatever your rising is, whatever the opposite sign is, that is the sign that starts your relationship to relationships, right?
So if you're a Sagittarius,
partner you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're a Sagittarius rising, that may be why you dress in identity.
That's why we have a Sagittarius in our Vagittarius shirt, because I'm a Gemini rising and I fuck Sagittarius. I want Sagittarius. That's how the whole thing came up, because I was like, Desi and I were broing over how much we love Sagittarians. And I'm like, yeah, my seventh house is in Sagittarius. I fuck a lot of Sag. And she's like, yeah, you want Sag in your Vag? And we were like, make it merch. And then here you came in, swooping right in as the Sag cap you are, being like, I'll make it merch.
Friend of the pod, Angie Picarillo, who we should probably have on at some point, she asked what the Sagittarius and Vagittarius merch meant. And then I was like, so you've just explained it, so I'm going to put a timestamp in the description so that she knows where to come to find it. But so she's a Leo. So does she need a Sagittarius in her Vagittarius?
Well, so in my case specifically, why I needed a Sag in my Vag was because I was just making a point that as a Gemini rising, that's like how I do relationships, what I'm attracted to. Now, I don't know what her rising is, but if she's a Leo. Ooh, well, we can there are ways to figure that out. So send her to me. But what I will say is, as a Leo sun, I could definitely see her wanting a Sagittarius in her Vegetarius, because fire signs need fire signs, because otherwise they're fucking burning the house down. So Leo is like, Leo is kind of like the middle fire sign, right? It's the Jan Brady of fire signs, right? So Sagittarius is Marsha, right? Sagittarius is the biggest, the oldest, the best fire sign.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Cindy's sort of Aries, where it's like, shut up, Cindy.
Dude,
gotcha, Sam,
I was
here
watching the Brady Bunch for 4 hours yesterday. It's so
no bring up Molly. You see what I'm saying? No, that's the universe. How would I haven't watched the Brady Bunch since I was doing sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na in the eighth grade.
Literally hours I was watching Brady Bunch yesterday.
If nothing else, Molly, I hope you get out of this podcast that you're like, you're actually psychic and we're speaking telepathically. Sorry.
Definitely. So people are mad at Kendall Jenner about her tequila commercial, her cultural appropriation. She's got this new tequila. It's called 818. People are arguing that she is appropriating Mexican culture. I saw this insane TikTok where it was like, the most racist thing about the promo video is the lighting, because she's using lighting that casts people of color in the role of the villain. Whoa. And I was like, I can get into that level of granular detail, but also at the same time, a lot of white people have tequila companies.
Right. It's like that. Like, I could get mad at her about a few things. I have a few thoughts. But, like, the lighting's not the thing.
Right. Here's the thing. Kendall Jenner is my arch nemesis. She tried to get me kicked out of a Fashion Week party.
Wait, what?
You don't know about this?
No.
Okay, you know what? I've probably told this story on, like, every podcast I've ever guested it on. But I've never told it on my own
podcast. Your debut on the Space Trash Old Diva Behavior RSS feed. What? You?
Yeah.
You met Kendall?
So, okay. It was fashion week. It was the fashion week that The Life of Pablo came out. I was working at Galore. I was living my best fucking life.
Totally.
I got to go to the dual Yeezy fashion show, The Life of Pablo listening party at Madison Square Garden. I was in the Amex box for that. Oh. It was truly one of the...
Truly your best life.
One of the best experiences.
Best life.
Yeah. You know, I'm a Kanye stan. I love Kanye. Oh, he can do no wrong in my eyes. I don't love care Kanye. What he says.
Gemini powerhouse.
Right. So I was... One day I was at the Life of Pablo listening party, which was incredible. I saw ASAP Rocky in real life, and he was one of the hottest men I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Person. The next day I was at the Kendall and Kylie launch party for their like middle brow Nordstrom collection.
Uh-huh.
So at that party, I was supposed to be getting people on Galore Snapchat. I got Chris, I got Kylie, they were both so gracious, so nice. Mm-hmm. I went up to them and I was like, hey, I'm like, look, because Galore was Kylie's first 18-year-old cover. Like, Kylie did her...
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her first magazine cover where she was, like, allowed to be sexy was Galore.
I forgot about that.
So, yeah. So, I think she had love for Galore, and Chris is a professional. Chris is nice to everyone.
Oh, Chris knows what the fuck she's doing.
Chris knows where her bread is buttered. Mm-hmm. And so does Kylie. And so does mm-hmm. Kylie. They were so gracious, so nice. I went up to them. I was like, oh, can I get a little video with you for the Galore Snapchat? Because this is when Snapchat was popping off. And they were like, of course. They were like, we will answer any question you have for us. And they were so fucking nice. So then I go up to Kendall, like, on the dance floor, and I was like, Kendall, would you like to be on the Galore Snapchat? And she was like, no, no, no. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Like, really fair enough. You're not that famous.
No, is no. We are all about consent here.
Exactly. So then, like, 2-3 nights later, I was at ASAP Rocky's launch party for his collab with Guess. It was at the Box. Do you know that club in like Chinatown, sort
of? Yeah, like they have like birds flying out of women's pussies and stuff. Is it that place?
Yeah. So the launch party was at the Box. I was up in VIP with a couple of my coworkers, and I had been up there for a while. We were on the top floor. Like, ASAP Rocky was like 10 feet away from us the whole night, just trying to play it cool. Cause I was like, I'm not going to ask ASAP Rocky to be on the Snapchat. Like, he's way too cool. So, I was like, I have to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom was downstairs. So I started to walk down the stairs to the bathroom, and I saw this big line of people coming back up the stairs. And I was like, ooh, if I leave VIP now, I'm probably not going to get back in. Cause it was a struggle to get into the party in the first place.
Right.
Like, there was like one influencer with us who actually didn't get in, and she had like 80,000 followers, and they wouldn't even let her in, but they just let me in because I had like the name of the magazine. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I barely got into this party. If I leave VIP now, I'll never get back up there. So I turned back around to go back up the stairs. And this girl to my left is like, don't let her up. She's a psycho. To the woman in front of her. And I was like, what are you talking about? I've been up here for like 2 hours, and I just kept going. And then when I got up to the top of the stairs, I was like, wait a minute. And I looked back, and it was Kendall.
Kendall called you a psycho?
Kendall called me a psycho. And she was with...
Holly, that's making it. You made it.
She was with Bella Hadid and Hailey Bieber. Hailey Baldwin at the time.
Not all him.
And she had tried to get the PR woman of... I think she was the PR of the Box to kick me out of the Box. And even the PR woman was just like, what are you talking about? This is just like some random person. Like, Kendall thought that I was following her up the stairs.
Just to get her on the Snapchat?
Right. And like, no. And she was like, get her out of here. She's a psycho. Can you believe that? But also, I was like, okay.
No, but I think that is like, first of all, I think it's such a great prelude to this story, because it's actually a perfect example of where Kendall's just a little off.
She's just off, and like off. She frames it as anxiety.
Whole thing with the tequila is like, authentic tequila that took 4 years in Calabasas to make. That sentence doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
So this tequila ad is her Pepsi ad 2.0. It's the exact same level of not missing the forest for the trees.
Just so confused about what's going on. Like actually thinking that you're doing something exactly the opposite. Like when she did the Pepsi, I'm curious. Let's just start with the Pepsi commercial.
Yes.
What do you think?
For people who don't remember, the Pepsi commercial was she is at like a Black Lives Matter protest and she's in the middle of a photo shoot and she sees that people are protesting and she throws off her wig and she grabs a can of Pepsi and she marches up to the cops in their riot gear and hands them a Pepsi, and then racial harmony is achieved. And it was a huge backlash. Immediately, people were like, is this a joke?
Talk about missing the point, not knowing what's going on. And really, again, we started the episode talking about the friend's cash grab. This is a cash grab.
Yeah.
Pepsi's a cash grab. She's like, oh, okay, you'll pay me a lot of money to do this thing. I'm sure you have my best interest in mind. And then there's no other thought.
Yeah. This is the thing. And then when the whole backlash blew up in her face, she was just upset that people were mad at her. They did a whole episode on it. And at no point was she like, I don't want to denigrate the Black Lives Matter movement. It was just, I didn't mean to make people mad. And it's like, you don't even understand why you made people mad. All you understand is that people are mad and they're mad at you and you just want it to stop.
And you're just sorry. Like, that's even when I'm, again, not to make this all about my exes, there's nothing I hate more than a generic sorry.
Yeah.
You cannot, if you're dating me and I'm upset about something and you come back and go, look, I'm sorry, my next text is, for what? What are you sorry for? You've reflected? After, I know, I shouldn't have sent 30 fucking abusive text messages, but you've taken them in? Tell me. What have you learned from this dialogue? And it's nothing. It's never anything. They just don't want to be in a fight anymore. Yeah. That is Kendall.
Yeah. That's Kendall. So I will say about this tequila thing, even though she's my celebrity arch nemesis, even though she tried to get me thrown out of a party. Also, two things. First thing, I don't think she recognized me from the party earlier in the week when I was doing my job and trying to get her on Snapchat.
No, she's looking for psycho. She's I won't tell you. I want you to guess her astrology, but she's a little bit on the lookout for psychos.
Yeah, I think that she just thinks that anyone in her vicinity who's not famous and important is a psycho. That's what I think. Uh-huh. And I think she's got a little bit of the like Meghan Markle syndrome in that way. And the second thing that I want to say is I did not recognize her while I was looking her in the eye and she was trying to kick me out of this party and saying, don't let her in, she's a psycho. I didn't recognize her. I didn't know who she was because she, and here's the thing, I've seen every other Kardashian in person and almost all of them.
Can't miss them.
They have that inner glow. Kim Kardashian, when you see her in real life, she is a planet with its own gravitational pull. She has that thing where even if you didn't know who she was, you would look at her and be like, oh my God, like, that's a person. That's an important person.
Can't take your eyes off her.
Right. Kendall had the opposite. Kendall is wallpaper. That was the third party that I've ever, that's the third party I've been to with her. And every time I've seen her at a party, it's literally like a cattail in a marsh. Do you know what I mean? Waving in the wind with a hot dog for a head. And you don't notice, you know, you're just like, well, there's another human being. No,
isn't it interesting though? Like, if we're talking about like everything is mirrors, right? Kendall doesn't know what's going on around her, and making eye contact with her, you can't identify her.
Right.
Like, she's sort of just.
She's an enigma. She's a fugazi. She is a fugazi of an attractive model woman.
Well, and she's very lucky that she, like, if she were born in public school in New Jersey with us, she would have just been tall and skinny.
People say that she's not a good model. I disagree with that. I think she's a great model because she's mutable. She is very mutable with her face, and she is beautiful, and she has an incredible physique, unreal physique. Like, the way that she's built is, you can tell that one of her parents is an Olympian.
She's a Jenner, man. She is such a Caitlyn's daughter. That is Caitlyn's fucking daughter.
She has incredible genes and she's gorgeous, but she does not have that inner glow. I saw Kirstie Alley in a restaurant one time.
Kirstie's actually got it.
She's got it.
We want to see her. We can't stop staring at
her. This was at a time when the tabloids were saying, like, she's fat, she looks awful, she's lost it.
And to be fair,
but she was still gorgeous.
Yep.
Stunning. Like, everyone's eye in the restaurant diverted to her because she
And it wasn't even because, like, they saw look who's talking or look who's talking too. It's because she just had that thing.
It's because they saw for richer or poorer.
You're right. My bad. That's actually exactly what they were,
it was
because, like,
we were in Pennsylvania.
That Americana cover was in their head.
They were like, we saw the only movie about Amish people and we loved it.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah,
it is because she's magnetic. Kim's magnetic. Yeah. Chris is magnetic. And Kendall's not magnetic. So, okay.
Kylie's magnetic.
Kylie is less magnetic than Kim, but she's still a little magnetic.
I feel like Kylie may be more like of a process. Like even in Crystal, there's like hematite magnets that have been like basically magnetized, but they still but they're magnets.
She's been magnetized. Kylie has been magnetized. Oh, wow. What a great.
She's been charged.
Analogy. She's been charged. She's been sitting out in the sun for just long enough. Yeah.
She's still in the crystal shop. And actually, she's really fun to work with. But, like, let's be clear. This didn't come from the mountain and is, like, has magical properties. It was ionized and charged.
Yes, absolutely agree. Okay. So let me guess Kendall's sign. I actually know that she's got some heavy Scorpio placements.
Oh yeah.
Because of just my general research.
If you're calling someone a psycho, it means that you think you're a psycho, and that is state-of-the-art Scorpio.
Yes. Wow. Say that again for the people in the back.
You know, it's just like we are always calling people what we are, and if you find yourself calling people psycho, you want to look at where Scorpio is in your chart, because Scorpio would be the sign that is psycho enough to not even get how psycho they are, but just project it on other people and call them psycho and then use that as a way to try to kick a stranger out of a party or just, like, you know, toilet paper or a house.
P.S. Check out our Sweet But Scorpio merch, because
because we know how it is to be a Scorpio. You are sweet, but you will toilet paper that house.
Yes. Okay, so she's got some Scorpio energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of weird because it's like she comes across as being very emotional, but I don't think she actually is.
No, I don't think she actually experiences emotions at all.
Yeah, I don't think she has any, like, water placements.
Well, okay, yes. Well, Scorpio is water, but.
Oh, fuck. I didn't realize that.
Well, the water sign, but. She has her Saturn in a water sign, but that's where, water, wherever Saturn is in your chart is kind of like one of the most major challenges of your life. It's like your burden, just your cross to bear. Mm-hmm. So for her to actually become a sensitive person is like a huge part of her life's work, but does not come easy to her. No.
Okay. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's a Scorpio, I think sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think for moon and rising?
I think her moon's got to be Earth. I don't think that. I don't think that, because this is the thing. I have a lot of Earth placements and I always think of that as being unemotional, but I'm learning that it isn't.
No, Earth is emotional. Earth might not express emotions, but Earth is like, Earth is Earth, bro. It's Gaia.
Then I think her moon is in a fire sign. I think that her moon is like maybe Leo, just because like she definitely seems very
say hair. She does not have thick hair.
She doesn't have. Yeah, I think she's very preoccupied with the spotlight and with attention.
Yeah, but okay, stay there. But Leo at least is a performer with a stage, right?
And she's not a performer with a stage.
She doesn't know how she's coming across. She's just fucking burning shit.
Aries moon.
Aries moon, Aries rising.
Whoa. Okay.
And her moon is actually in her 12th house with a later degree Aries rising.
Scorpio sun, Aries moon, Aries rising. That is.
But I want to give you some credit, Ma, because actually, I don't want to give it away, her midheaven legacy, right on your sun, right on my moon, Mars. She's an 8-degree Capricorn legacy. So she is here to do business and to achieve and to be a boss lady. But she has an Aries rising with her moon in Aries, but it's in the 12th house. So she is impulsive in a way that she cannot explain.
Wow.
She has no idea. It's like blinder than blind. Aries being the maybe blindest sign, it's like the most, like it's like just born. So she's an Aries rising, but then her emotions are still in her subconscious, her soul, her emotions, her moon's in her 12th house. So at her best, she could just be like feeling for the collective, but it's an Aries with all this shit. No, she's literally just, she's feeling for the collective enough to know what she thinks. In my mind, when I look at this chart, I'm like, she's like, all those men have tequila companies? I'll be the woman with a tequila company. But here's the thing.
She thinks that's like empowering.
Right. And she thinks it's empowering. She thinks it's good business and she thinks it's safe. And then she thinks that she's like doing it differently because she's actually going to go to Mexico and she's going
to shoot a promo.
Right. Now, here's the thing. When I was looking all this up and I was seeing all the reports, what everyone's upset about, there's so many things out there. They're like, George Clooney has a tequila company. The Rock has a tequila company. There's like 12 celebrities that have big tequila companies, okay? Here's the difference. In the same vein, you know what? I got to be honest. If I saw Brad Pitt at a rally and he gave a cup of Coke, I wouldn't be pissed about it, okay? To make that the brand choice is fucking insane. That is so off.
To make what the brand choice?
To be like, I'm going to leave this shoot and walk through the protest.
Oh, yeah. She didn't make that choice, but she definitely approved it and had her people pour over every moment of it.
Well, and to be fair, I would probably the same. I don't think she was a little girl being like, someday I'll go to Mexico and exploit those workers and have a tequila company. No, this is a family that is obsessed with business. She might be the least descript of them all. And tequila is such a popular drink. And all these men, and she has an extremely male chart. This is a very masculine. Yeah. She is not like her sister.
Well, you just told me I have an extremely male chart. It doesn't mean
you do, but it's different. You don't have a war chart. Aries rising, Aries moon, Scorpio sun, Scorpio Mercury, Mars in Sag, Jupiter in Sag, Capricorn midheaven. This bitch is like here to fucking fight and she does not know what about.
Yes.
She's leading with that Aries baby, I'm crying and I don't even have an opinion, just clap for me. Aries is just impulse.
She is primed for conflict at all times. And I think that's why she does feel that she struggles with anxiety, because I think she's making conflicts out of nothing 24/7. She thought 100%. That me walking up the stairs next to her was a conflict.
Also, like, not only was that a conflict, but like, to call you a psycho, like, I want to be crystal clear. At this time, the only reason that they were even in Nordstrom's was because of Kylie's Snapchat. So for the magazine who's hosting the party in the VIP area to want to get the...
Well, we weren't hosting the party and this wasn't... Yeah.
Okay, well...
This party was for ASAP Rocky for guests. I know I dropped too many parties in a row.
No, I love it. I actually would just continue the rumor that it was your party and I would actually just blow it. I would just be like, it was Molly's party. She was actually the host. Okay. But regardless, it's... Okay, you are obviously working and Snapchat was the thing.
No,
I mean, it wasn't like you was like, come be on OnlyFans with me.
The time that she said I was a psycho was nothing to do with Snapchat.
But didn't you, but you asked her the night before.
Like three nights before, yeah.
No, this chart, she did remember you.
You think? Because 100%. Listen, think about
she would not just call some chick a psycho. No, no, no. She was pissed that you asked her to do anything and was having a bad mood and maybe had her period and doesn't have enough mental depth to go, maybe I was just in a bad mood. She thought that girl tried to get me on Snapchat. Oh, no, no. I think she's like vengeful. No, I think she remembered you.
Wow.
There's no way that she would call. I mean, maybe there's a way. But I don't think she'd be like, that girl's a psych. No, 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 no. I think if she was annoyed with you three, Scorpios? I mean, you're with the Scorpio, you know.
Yeah.
They don't forget a single fucking detail. Scorpios know. Your Mars is in Scorpio. You know about Scorpio. Scorpios actually know every fucking thing that's going on. And they're going to use it at a time that you least expect to fucking fuck you. Or to fuck you, right? It's either going to fuck you or it's going to fuck you, right? Scorpio could be good too, okay? I like Scorpios. But, no, the fact that she called you a psycho and 3 days before she was like, don't you dare put me on, what is it called, Snapchat? It's like, yo, bitch, first of all, you're lucky that Kylie turned herself into a human filter because that's why you guys are anywhere, okay? You guys know about fucking Snapchat.
Into a human filter.
No, Kylie's a filter.
That is something that I need to make a mental note to remember that you said, because it's so good and I'm gonna think I thought of it and I'm gonna accidentally say,
Molly, we're a team. As long as one of us has an income, we're fine. Use it if you got it, okay?
No, I'm not gonna use it.
I'm abundant.
I'm really signposting it right now that Sarah Armour came up with Kylie Jenner is a human filter.
But isn't that what she is? I mean, I didn't even come up with it. I'm just reporting. Like, she not only was the number, she invented Snapchat and then she actually just turned it into her IRL avatar.
Yeah.
So for Kendall to be such a bitch about it is so fucking whack. You know, it's like, Kendall, you know, Chris knows who butters her bread. Do you?
Yeah, Kendall doesn't know.
You think you can move out at 17 with three giant skinny dogs and call yourself a woke adult? You are asleep and you are. Even the fact that she's like so private about her like personal life, it's like, yo, Kendall, what are you so afraid of happening? Well, but then it's like, okay, well, this is what. The minute she makes an actual choice, it's always fucking wrong, right? Like, yes. Even the basketball player, he's like the one basketball player in the NBA that I am not attracted to. I mean, she's like the one ugly b-ball player, but okay, that's not the point. The point is, Pepsi commercial. If you ran that commercial by almost anyone's desk during the Black Lives Matter protests at the beginning of the global pandemic, when there was more visceral human connected pain that we could all actually agree on, she's gonna leave the photo shoot at the big shoot to walk across the, and like she's fucking Moses just parting the fucking sea of libs to give the cop a Pepsi. I'm puking. Okay. Now here's the thing. It's not that there's all these things now that are like, it is straight up misogynist. Like, this is the patriarchy. Why Kendall gets fucking fucked up about the, everybody in Hollywood has a tequila brand, but we hate Kendall for it. Actually, no, we don't hate Kendall for having a tequila brand. Okay. Let's be real. I had Chipotle for dinner. I'm not like, I didn't even hate Bieber's dreadlocks, okay? I think that we do need to honor cultures and that we should get, you know, the only place that tequila can actually be made is Mexico. It's the only place agave grows, okay? So if there is business that is of the tequila kind, not only are we, I think we should be very conscious of making sure that we are overpaying the people who are actually,
that's the problem. The problem is that, you know, the gringos go down and overpay the tequila companies and it prices out all of the local Mexican tequila brands.
Okay, so number one, that's fucked up. But then the double worst thing here, aside from that, is that her commercial was her pretending that she was down there picking the agave. Did you watch the commercial?
Yes, yes.
It is like cut to shot of Kendall walking with her braids and her cowboy hat across the field. Cut to like little man next to his Pueblo, like hunched over with his donkey. It's like, yo, Kendall, that's not your homie. Like, You didn't grow and up picking like, agave with him.
And you know that you know that they took the sombreros out of the scene at the last minute. You know that at the last minute.
Do cowboy hat. Do cowboy hat. Yeah. It's American. She is from America. Do cowboy hat.
At the last minute, they were like, the sombrero might be overkill and trashed the sombreros.
Right. She was actually hitting a pinata. And there were tiny tequila shots coming out of it. And they were like, you know, this is actually inappropriate. No, but that's the only thing worse about this commercial would have been if, like, Ted Cruz was actually one of the spokespeople going, like, yeah, in Cancun, we have the best tequila. You know, like, yeah. It would have been, like she actually, like, appropriation is such a complex issue. You know, I would hope that anybody who is sourcing the product from the only place it comes that is specifically underprivileged, that as people of power, let's just assume that everyone's a good dude, and we obviously would do everything we could to create more equality on Earth, because that actually helps everybody. Okay, shocker, I know, but she is Caitlyn's daughter, so who knows what the fuck she's been programmed with. But okay, fine, make a tequila company. 818, the fucking local authentic Calabasas tequila, not possible, but okay. But then it didn't even. I would like it better if it was a pool party with the Kardashians chugging 818 tequila to the face, being like, "Yo, now I'm fun." Okay.
But the other thing is with the
hombres is like, "Yo, dude, I don't think you've ever been to Mexico unless you were staying at the Four Seasons." Okay, so let's not act like you've been like preparing your empire. It's like, give me a break.
When the Kardashians go to Mexico, they stay with the founder of Girls Gone Wild. I'm not even kidding. They stay at his villa. But I think that they couldn't win, because I think if they did a Calabasas pool party drinking tequila, it would get just as much outcry. She couldn't win with this. And the reason why she couldn't win is because everyone hates her, because she comes across really inauthentic, and the whole family has been dinged for cultural appropriation again and again and again and again. And she does not offer any relatable part of herself to the public.
Well, ever. Right. That's actually the issue. It's that there's no other side. There's no... Let me tell you something. Pimples when you're a teenager and struggling with anxiety as a famous person actually ain't it.
Yeah. It's not.
It's like not that interesting. Oh, she struggles with white teeth. I did a video with Lucia a few months ago where I was doing my moon character, and I was upset that she appropriated the moon. Her fucking moon teeth brand. She sort of is just like she actually is just. I mean, oh my god, double entendre. She's a poser.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah. That's
a poser and a poser. Oh, because he's in La La Land. Get it?
Yes, that is it.
Wow, how can we make that merch a poser? But really, she's a poser. Even if you watch some of the videos, she's actually just like in Mexico learning about it. So she's never heard of it. It's not like she was like, someday I'm going to make this myself. It's like, she's like, what do people want to buy? What do people want to get fucked up on? We're going to black out on it. They're making web series where they're all just drinking now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're the wrong company. It's like,
It's just so inauthentic. Like, and it doesn't.
Authentic.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense with her. Like, it's just,
makes no sense. Also, because her whole thing before this was like, I don't do personal life. You never see me drinking. You don't see me out. I am not interested in the spotlight. And it would make more sense if she picked up, you know, a wine or a beer to take over. So her lack of awareness is what gets me. She just doesn't seem to be plugged into the like human being conversation almost at all.
Yeah, but also like, we love to hate skinny pretty girls.
Yes.
We love to hate Kardashians. Kendall has primed us to hate her in a variety of ways. So it's a perfect storm for backlash. Yeah. And like, whether it's fair or not doesn't really matter, because the fact that we are spending this much time on it is actually kind of unfair. If you look at damage that it's doing compared to, I'm sure that like whatever tequila company is owned by like Anheuser-Busch or whatever is destroying more small towns in Mexico than Kendall's little piddly little tequila company ever
will. But it's like, it really is though. Like, it actually
is an easy target, is what I'm saying. She's an easy target.
Well, but she's an easy. I guess I need to watch the other commercials, because I don't remember Clooney and Gerber in Mexico. But when I saw those Kendall Jenner beauty shots in the fields. I was
because
like,
we hate women who own their beauty. We do. We hate it.
No, but I didn't hate her. I love her beauty. I hate that she's pretending that she's been in the fields picking with her hombres. Like, I don't need her to I would rather her say, hey, you guys, I'm a Kardashian and I'm a fucking party girl and I love drinking tequila and blacking out and fucking people. So I went down to Mexico and I found my favorite flavor and I'm working with these guys now. You know what I'm saying? We don't think that Kim is sewing the clothing either, right? Like, yeah, we do understand. Oh my God. Okay. I want to watch. But
it's just a photo. It's just a photo. But this was the photo that was everywhere.
We do understand that the nature of business, like, look, like, you know, okay. Let me see.
And here's another one.
All right. Yeah.
They're hoisting their shot glasses surrounded by men in sombreros. But I guess the difference is they don't have the sombreros on. Well, they're not sombreros. They're cowboy hats, but they don't have the vaquero.
Well, actually, no. To me, this is actually much more. This is much different. This is right. They're going, hey, look at these dudes. We are celebrating this culture, but we are not of that culture. Kendall was in a Halloween costume of I pick this agave too, and yeah, it's like, nah, bitch. And like, it doesn't seem like it seems like in these. So yes, these are obviously images, and maybe I'm just biased because I love fucking men and I'm a fat woman right now, right? So who knows? Maybe it's my own shit. But it just feels like at least this is clearly not them being like, oh, we made this for you. They're like, hey, here we are parting with these real deal bros who they make this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
In the field, touching the fucking the stalks of growth and foliage. It's like, Kendall, I don't even think there's foliage in Calabasas.
I do still think that there is an element of sexism and misogyny in how much we hate Kendall for it. I really do.
Okay, here's my question though. Do you think it would be as extreme if the Pepsi commercial did not happen?
No, it wouldn't be as extreme. That
right. I think actually the Pepsi commercial is why this is such a problem.
Yeah, exactly. The Pepsi commercial was like her undoing. She had it made. She was in the famous family, but she never spoke. She never had a personality. She has this classy aura that she does not really ever did anything to earn that. And people projected onto her, oh, she doesn't have as overt plastic surgery. She's not loud. She doesn't talk about her vagina like Chloe does. Like, we assumed that she was like a good person just for those stupid, stupid reasons. And the Pepsi commercial is what brought that down.
Yeah, but
and
you know what else?
Never recovered.
Please know about other people than just skinny, white, plastic surgery, teenagers becoming millionaires. Like, I just think Kendall has no context.
Yeah.
And it shows and it hurts people who – I don't think it hurts anybody. I just think it sucks. It's like
– It annoys people.
And then we're talking – you want to get off the podcast because we could keep talking about how much we're annoyed by it for hours because it is so annoying. So it's just like, yeah, Kendall, we forgive you. And we do not care if white people open Chipotles or have tequila companies. We do hope that you're not
destroying a local economy.
Yeah, we just like want you to – I do think there's just like different ways. You just be respectful of the reality of what's going – you didn't make the tequila in your backyard as a passion project. Get real.
Yeah.
It's a business. Well,
this has been Space Trash.
What a journey. I mean, it is Mercury retrograde and you guys are going to feel it, but we're feeling it too. And honestly, hang in there. Do not make any rash choices. All you need to do is observe, take notes, have gratitude. And what Molly said at the beginning is so right. It's good advice for everything. Do not focus on – it's why. Don't – when you're going to get plastic surgery and if you're going to do Mercury retrograde, do not focus on what is wrong. Do not focus on what's – you know, what needs to be better about you or what's broken about you. Focus on what's going right. Let go of the things that – the thoughts and the ideas that are just not quite working. But if there are things that you're excited about, just give them love and have gratitude. And after this eclipse cycle, you'll be in a whole different place. So just let fate have its way with you. And just don't try to control too much. I mean, even Kendall, she's feeling it, you know? And who knows? Maybe at the end of this, she's going to move to Mexico and give all the money to the children in the orphanage. So you know what? We'll see.
She's definitely not going to do that, but – you know,
we'll see.
She'll probably do something.
What? Eclipse seasons are crazy, bro. Eclipse seasons are crazy.
Space trash.
Trash.
in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.